Good morning, everyone. Would you please turn your Bibles in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, from verse 10 to 20. We are going to look at what the Bible says about spiritual warfare. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. A final word: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message of God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Lord, I pray that you'll give me the right words so that, Lord, I can explain your words in the spirit and right way, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This is Paul who wrote this book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians, he explained how believers have received the new life in Christ. He talks about how we were dead in sin and trespasses, but Christ raised us up to life. So it means we are no longer in the graves of our sins. We no longer even roam, even in the cemeteries of our sins. We have been raised in life in Christ himself. So in Christ, God has given us this new life. This is what Paul is explaining in this book of Ephesians. Not only a new life, he has given us this new society, a new society which God has created through Jesus Christ. He has called people from different nations, people from different tribes, Gentiles, Jews, and they put them together to form this new society, the church, the body of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is explaining in the book of Ephesians. And he talks about new standards which God expects, and his new society, especially unity and purity. So he has given us new life and brought us into the body of Jesus Christ, this new society. And he has given us new standards that he expects. He talks about who we have become in Jesus Christ. And then he expects us to walk in a manner that reflects who we are. We are united with Christ himself. And he expects us to walk in that unity. And fourth, he talks about these new relationships into which God has brought us. Harmony in the home. And at the end, he talks now about the hostility of the devil. So he talks about how husbands ought to love their wives. He talks about how children ought to obey their parents. And he talks about how a servant or slaves are to obey their masters. This is because of our union with Jesus Christ. All these blessings we have received in Christ himself through his death and resurrection. Now, Paul, at the end, he talks now about this hostility, this war that we rage against the enemy himself. So it means that just because we know how to behave as husbands doesn't mean that we're going to love like Jesus Christ. It's going to be hard. You know, sometimes when evangelists come to you, preachers come to you and say, you know, believe in Jesus Christ, then everything is going to be easy. No, it's going to be difficult. The Christian life is impossible to live without Jesus Christ. It's impossible because there is the enemy who is raging war against us as believers. Does God want us to be in unity? Yes. Then the devil will come to destroy that unity. Does God want us to live in harmony in our homes, in our families? Yes. Then the devil will work so hard to destroy those relationships. Has God destroy the walls of hostility that separated us with other people? Yes, he has done that through Jesus Christ. And then the devil will try to build those walls of hostility. We are waging war against the devil. That's why Paul is saying, be strong. A final word I tell you, be strong in the Lord. He's calling us to be strong, and not only not in our strength, but in the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, there is human responsibility that is there, and there is divine power to help us to do that. He also said, put on the armor of God. This armor belongs to God. He has made them for us to use. So there is human responsibility and there is the divine power. The armor belongs to God to put it on. It's actually the same thing that he expresses in Philippians where he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Yes, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's your responsibility. But also, it's God. Remember, it's God who gives you the strength to do so. So that's why Paul is calling us to our responsibility as Christians. This is an imperative form where he says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Be strong, not in your own strength, but in the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. The devil has gotten so many strategies to deceive us. The Bible actually has different names for the devil. For example, he's called in John 8:44, the father of lies. You know, the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And Satan doesn't want our freedom in Christ. So he comes to us to lie to us. He's the father of lies. He works in different ways. He has so many strategies. He can use what the culture says to us and say, this is true. In Matthew 13:39, he's called the enemy. He wants to persuade you that he does not exist. That's one of the strategies of the devil. He'll try to persuade you to make you think that he does not exist. C.S. Lewis says, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hold a materialistic or a magician with the same delight. So he makes people believe that he does not exist. That's one of his strategies. And others will be obsessed in an unhealthy way with the existence of devil. And C.S. Lewis says that those two things are really, really dangerous. In other places, called the evil one. In Matthew 13:19-38, it's called the evil one. This is actually in contrast with what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3, calling God the Holy One, the source of all that is good. If God is the Holy One, then to construct that, the devil is the evil one. He's called the deceiver. He's called the adversary. He's called Belial. He's called the great dragon in Revelation. He's called murderer in John 8:48. He's called sinner. He's called the tempter in Matthew 4:5. He's called Beelzebub. This is our enemy, and he has gotten so many strategies. He comes and sneak into our prayers. He comes and give us some bad thoughts sometimes. I remember I was praying for someone. All of a sudden, I have this thought that just comes in the middle of my prayer saying, you can't just pray for that person. You yourself know that he doesn't like you. Why do you pray for him? It's actually the devil comes in the midst of your prayer saying, just bringing some bad ideas, bad thoughts. But if you remember that the Bible says to pray for all the saints, then in that moment you have put on God's armor, the belt of truth. He has gotten so many strategies. It can come in the form of a slap. Probably your wife just insults you. And the devil sits there, he wants you to react. It can come in many, many forms. We have got to be very, very careful by being strong and not in our strength. Remember, in the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sometimes sing here that the victory belongs to Jesus Christ. If we know that the victory belongs to Jesus Christ, then we will be strong in the Lord and put on God's armor. The victory is ours in Jesus Christ. We don't need to fear because the strength is ours in Christ Jesus. And then he talks about that we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Dear friends, the person who are sitting next to you is not your enemy. Your neighbor is not your enemy because we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are not fighting against humans. That's why Jesus knew it and say, pray for your enemies, love your enemies. The people we perceive to be our enemies are not really our enemies. We have one enemy, and he is the devil. If actually we cannot see our enemy, if our enemy are not the people we can touch, I mean the things that we can touch or people that we can see and touch, therefore we have to put also spiritual armors, weapons to fight this unseen enemy. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We can see our enemies. They're these spiritual beings that we cannot even perceive with our eyes. I said, but we are fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Unseen, we can't see them. That these rulers, authorities, powers of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The book of Ephesians that starts in the heavenly places, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ in the heavenly places. And then the Bible moves and ends with showing how we are waging war against the principalities and authorities and power of this darkness, where in the heavenly places. Yes, we are blessed in the heavenly places. And yes, we are also fighting the unseen, our unseen enemies in the heavenly places. You know, our enemies, they don't need the Geneva Convention to restrict their weapons. No, we can't see them. They don't have codes that regulate how they're supposed to use their weapons. They're constantly fighting every single day. Now, when Paul says put on, he means this should be a continuous thing to do. The enemy does not sleep. He's there every day, every moment, in your conversation, in your meditation, in your prayer, when you walk, when you are talking with someone, he's there. Just he wants to put you down. But we are supposed to be strong so that you may stand this, his schemes and methods that he uses. And he moves on to saying, therefore, he started with, let me say, the conclusion, which actually he repeats again in verse 13, saying, reminding, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. What is the time of evil that he's talking about? It's when the temptation comes really strong. It's a moment where sin actually is at the door of your heart. That's the evil day, the evil moment. He said, be now strong so that you may be able to resist the enemy at that time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Put on all God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. And then he lists now the God's armor, the belt of truth, salvation, the spirit, which is God's word. Put on, read, meditate on God's word. That's actually how we put on. Have faith, believe in the one who has called you. And then he ends now with prayer, saying, praying at all times. Pray at all times with all kinds of prayer and supplications. Pray for all the saints. All of us are waging war against this enemy. But like Paul who exhorts us, are we praying for one another? Do I remember my brother Ozias in prayer sometimes saying, oh Lord, would you please protect Ozias? Would you please be with him? Would you please give him strength to fight this devil? Would you please give him the armor? Would you please help him to put on the armor? Do I pray for that? Or am I just praying for his needs? Only physical needs, I mean? Or do I labor in my prayers saying, God, would you please protect my brother Ozias? Praying at all times. Because the enemy also is fighting all times. We're supposed to be praying for one another, praying for the saints, making intercession for other people. Sometimes we are so selfish in our prayers that we don't even pray for others. When we come in the presence of God, we just remember our needs, selfish needs. And I'm guilty of that sometimes. But do I really remember? If I see someone is being tempted, am I laboring on my knees saying, God, protect him from the evil one? Praying at all times. It's not going around singing prayers or saying anything. It's praying in all circumstances. I see just a motorbike passing by. Oh, Lord, protect that biker. I'm here standing there seeing the choir singing. I'm praying, God, help the choir to lead us in this worship. I see people coming in. Oh, Lord, help him. I meet with my friend who is not born again. That actually should be a prayer for me. God, remember him in your mercy. Save him. Are we really laboring on our knees, praying for other saints? Remember Christ is called. He is actually interceding for us every single day. He's not coming with a list of our physical needs. No. Just think about it. Do you think that God, Christ comes to the Father at the right hand of God saying, so and so doesn't have a car, or
God, would you? No. He's praying for us that we look more like Jesus Christ. And even that's how he taught his disciples how to pray. He say, let your kingdom come. Are we praying for God's kingdom to come down into our hearts? Do we pray that for others? But remember, we should pray all the time and pray for the saints. And again, with supplications. We come and plead with God. God, please save him from his sins. Save him, oh Lord, from the evil one. Do we really pray for each other? Or are we selfish in our prayers? Then he says, pray also for me. Remember me in my chains. Paul didn't say, pray for me because I broke my right leg. Pray for me because I have to get a horse to go to Jerusalem. No. He said, pray for me that I may preach with boldness. He's in the chains. He's in prison. But he doesn't think about his knees. He prays that he'll preach the good news with boldness. Do we pray for our preachers? Do we pray for our pastors? Do we labor really? When you pray for someone else is praying also for you. And Christ says, seek first the kingdom of God and all other things will be added unto you. I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for our physical needs. I'm talking about priority in our prayers. Do we pray for each other that we'll look more like Jesus Christ in character, in behavior? Do we do that? Put on God's armor so that you'll be able to stand, to withstand in the evil days. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Pray in God's will at all times. Not on Sunday, not in the morning, not at noon only, not in the evening only, but at all times. And on every occasion, every circumstance, here, outside of here, at home, at school, everywhere, every occasion, no matter what is happening, just pray. Stay alert. Look, your enemy is there. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. We all wish we could spend our lives in undisturbed tranquility among our loved ones. We all wish we could live in peace with our wives, for those who are married, with our friends. We all wish that. But sometimes it doesn't happen because there is this devil trying to sneak in and just put you down. We all wish we could live in that tranquility at home and in the fellowship with God's people. We all wish that there will be unity. But sometimes it's not easy because of this devil waging war against us. But there is this beautiful hymn as I want to close. It's a hymn actually. I don't know who wrote it, but it has been sung by many people. It is called Lead On Eternal, King Eternal. Till sin's face war shall cease and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. We are looking forward at that time when sin will be no more. The devil will not be there to tempt us. We are looking at that day, a final rest for all of us as believers in Jesus Christ. We are looking at that time when holiness will whisper, amen, amen, the sweet amen of peace. Peace means the absence of war in this aim. That we'll not be fighting again with the devil, with the flesh, with the world. We'll be united in with Christ, in his glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you have promised to walk with us.
But also, Lord, you have promised that in this world you'll find troubles. Lord, sometimes we find troubles with the enemy and we don't know even how to walk, oh Lord. May you please walk with us, oh Lord. When we fall, help us to stand, oh King Eternal. Lord, you literally fought for the people of Israel. How you brought confusion in the kings of Canaan. Lord, in the same way you're fighting for us, you are our victorious King. Help us to depend on you every single day, oh King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You say that, Lord, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Lord, we believe that you are greater than anything, than the devil himself. Lord, help us, Lord, to rely on the captain of our faith, oh Lord. Help us, Lord, wherever we are in our journeys, in our Christian life, Lord, help us, walk with us, journey with us, Lord. You are our great companion in our journey of faith, oh Lord. Until, Lord, we experience this final rest that you have promised for the people of God, Lord. We are longing for that day, oh Lord. When Christ will be revealed in his glory, oh Lord, we'll see you face to face and all our sins will be gone away. All our struggles will go away, oh Lord. Help us, Lord, to journey with you every single day, every single moment. And help us to pray for one another with true humility, with true faith. Longing to see our fellow believers becoming more like Jesus Christ. Longing for that. Let it be our desire that, Lord, we will fall down on our knees to pray this mighty King to help us to walk in this journey of faith. Until you come, Lord, to take us with you in your glory. Be with us and walk with us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.